of self-manifested deities that are in India that I grew up listening to and their kirtans. Because Krishna makes it easy for his devotees to remember him. And he appears not only on earth as Vasudeva Krishna, but even as different forms in different places, as in the form of a deity. I'm not talking about installed deities, I'm talking about Krishna himself becoming a deity. And Krishna's birth, which is Janmashtami, birth of Krishna itself is very extraordinary. In fact, anything Krishna does is extraordinary. And when Krishna was born, very important thing, the difference between Krishna's birth and ordinary people. Ordinary people are born like normal babies. But Krishna was born as Vanamali Gadishrangi Shanki Chakri Chanandaki Shriman Narayano Vishnur Vasudevo Bhirakshatu. He was already born with Shankha Chakra, Bada, Gada, Padma, beautiful crown, ornamented hands, four arms. And then he became a baby. So there is actually a very esoteric understanding behind that. First of all, I'll tell you which deity is there in India which represents this Krishna, that is the Vasudeva Krishna. Because the Krishna in Gokula is Gokula Krishna, and this is Vasudeva Krishna with four arms. In Kerala, how many of you are from Kerala? Anybody from Kerala? There is a deity called Guruvayurappan. Anybody heard? So I'm going to tell you the story. Basically, this is way before Krishna was born. Lord Vishnu himself, being very pleased with Brahma, he gave him a deity of Krishna. So this actually proves a point to those who think Vishnu is supreme and Krishna is actually a manifestation or incarnation of Vishnu. Because Vishnu gave Krishna because he knew that he is Krishna originally. And Brahma got this deity of Krishna. And then, let me see if I get all the names right. After Brahma, it went down to different hands. And eventually it came at the time of Krishna's appearance in Dwaraka. This deity was there, and Krishna and Rukmini together installed this deity of Krishna. So it means it was already very old, 5,000 years ago. Then, when Krishna was leaving this planet, Uddhava became very depressed because he was feeling separation from Krishna. So he decided to give this deity to Uddhava. So Uddhava was worshipping this deity for many years. Then when the end of Dwaraka came and the Dwaraka was flooded with water, this deity got lost, started floating on the river. And at that time, Brihaspati and his disciple Vayu — Brihaspati is Guru and Vayu is God of air. So Brihaspati and Vayu, they both took this deity and they started looking for a place, safe place, where this deity can be established. While they were looking for a place, Parashurama was also simultaneously looking for this particular deity. So they both met and they went to Kerala. And this deity was established there, and therefore the name Guru Vayur means established by Guru and Vayu, Brihaspati and Vayu. This deity became famous. There are many, many pastimes of how this deity has done miracles in the lives of devotees. Even today, there are very strict regulations being followed in worshipping this deity. As far as I understand, it's not run by Vaishnava pujaris, but it is actually Vasudeva Krishna himself. So if you go to Guruvayur sometime, you can see this deity and take darshan. And it is said that this place, this temple was built by Vishwakarma himself, and it is built in such a way that the entrance door receives the sunlight at the summer equinox in such a way that the sunshine, as soon as it rises, falls on the lotus feet of Guru Ayyarappan. So you can see the lotus feet with the sunrise. And it is also said that Vasudeva, father of Krishna himself, worshipped this deity as well back then. So whatever Krishna does is extraordinary, and he comes in the form of deity to awaken our faith, to clear our doubts. Doubts is the main problem to understand this point, that Krishna is the origin of everything and at the same time he is born in Raja. In fact, great devotees like Lord Brahma themselves got bewildered. Indra also got bewildered. They could not understand Krishna as being the same as their creator Vishnu. So it is simultaneously easy and difficult to understand this. One important point for Gaudiya Vaishnavas to cherish is that the umbilical cord of Krishna was not cut in Mathura. It was actually cut in Vrindavan. And this makes a clear point that Krishna wants to be only Yashoda's son. In fact, because his umbilical cord was cut in Vrindavan, he promised to never leave Vrindavan. This is another point of understanding. How do we understand this? Does Krishna leave Vrindavan or not? Why does he leave the gopis in separation if he doesn't leave Vrindavan? And the acharyas describe that when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, it's actually the Vasudeva Krishna. It's not actually the Vrindavan Krishna who leaves. When we understand the greatness of Krishna's activities, we can also relish the greatness of his devotees, like Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda is glorified a lot by the acharyas. And there are many songs about the glories of Mother Yashoda. I would like to share some songs. One of the acharya, besides the description of, Brahma himself, because after his bewilderment got vanished, he came to senses, he glorified beautifully Krishna with Advaita Machyuta Manadi Manantarupam Adhyam Purana Purusham Navayavanam Cha Vede Shudurlava Madurlava Matma Bhakto Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. My dear Lord Krishna, you are inaccessible even by the Vedas. And only by unalloyed devotion can somebody approach you. You are without a second. There's nobody equal to you. And you are never going to decay. And you're eternally manifest in your beautiful, youthful form. And he even says that even the great gyanis and rishis cannot understand you. Pantastu koti shatavatsara sampragamya vayo ratapi manaso munipungavanam sopyasti yat prapadasinmya vichintya tatve govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. The great gyanis, the great yogis who performed tapasyas for hundreds and thousands and millions of years, they control their breathing process, they try to understand the Brahman, and they can only reach the tip of your toes only. And who actually can understand is the devotees of Vrindavan. And Brahma says, what does he say? Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena Shanta sadaiva trilayeshu trivoknayanti Yam shyama sundaram achintya gunasvarupam Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So Krishna is wearing a garland made of beautiful flowers which is swinging, and it has a moon locket to it. And And his two hands are adorned with beautiful bracelets. And he's eternally engaged in pastimes of love. And he's gracefully standing in his three-fourth bending form as Shyama Sundara. And he's eternally manifest in Vrindavan Dham. So this Vasudeva Krishna, who's actually Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim, Anantarupam, is crying, is fearful, is being chastised only by one person. Krishna says, there are 3 crores of devatas who fall at my feet, but there's only one person who can chastise me and cuddle me, and that's Mother Yashoda. And I'll share a song. This is an instrument, tala, which is used by South Indian acharyas to sing when they would go on the streets. So this is Purandara Dasa. He met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's in the sampradaya of Madhvacharya. And he glorifies Mother Yashoda's greatness. And he says, Adi Sital Yashoda Jagadotarana Jagadotarana Maganindu Tiliyuta. Mother Yashoda is cuddling Krishna, who's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking without any tinge of doubt, she thinks this is her darling Krishna. And who is Krishna? Acharya describes, Anatoniyana Mahatomahi. Is smaller than the smallest, and he is the greater than the greatest. And to that Krishna, Yashoda Maya feeds milk, yogurt, and butter to who? To the Lord who lies down on the causal ocean of milk and yogurt and butter. What greatness of a devotee! In fact, the Acharya goes on describing how when Yashoda was given the darshan inside Krishna's mouth, what did Yashoda see? Yashoda saw the 14 worlds inside Krishna's mouth. She saw the Jambudvipa, Bharatakanda, Bharatavarsha. She saw Uttara Pradesha. She saw Yashoda Krishna inside the mouth of Yashoda Krishna. And then she saw inside that Yashoda Krishna. So this is the darshan Krishna gave. But immediately, he pulled her out from that and gave her that ananda, which is attained only by motherly affection. And only in Vrindavan are these pastimes possible. These rasas are possible only in Vrindavan. And in none other song, he says, Taige Bayalli Jagavannu Torida Jagadodharaka. He's actually the caretaker of and maintainer of the entire universe, and he's allowing Mother Yashoda to care for him. And he is the Parama Purusha, and he is the Paravasudeva. So to this Krishna, and to this Yashoda, and to this particular rasa, I pay my salutations, the Acharya says. And he says, please give me a glimpse of this rasa, so I can also relish. We have Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song of Yashomati Nandana Braja Varunagara Gokula Ranjana Tana Gopi Paranadana Madana Manohara Kaliya Damana Vidana Vipina Purandara Navinaya Garabara Vamshivadana Suvasa. This is Krishna's eternal pastimes. In fact, what makes Krishna's birth more special is Srimati Radharani's birth. Shrimati Radharani enhances everything that Krishna does. And Shrimati Radharani says the only place that she's happy is where Yamuna is there, where Govardhan Hill is there, and when this forest of Vrindavan is there. So this is the eternal place of Krishna and Radha's pastimes, and this is Vrindavan. Whereas in Mathura, the consciousness of the devotees determines their understanding and their relationship with the Lord. Because some people, for example, the laundryman, he didn't see Krishna at all because he accepted Kamsa as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he could not see Krishna at all. So in Mathura, the consciousness is different. Because Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, when Uddhava visited Vrindavan, he saw this bhakti and he understood why Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. He never leaves Vrindavan because of the unalloyed devotion of the Brajvasis. And Uddhava actually prays. He prays that may he be able to take the dust from Vrindavan. One time, Narada Muni visited Rukmini in Dwaraka. And at that time, Narada Muni started to describe different pastimes of Krishna. He basically comes with his veena and he was singing, Kalantargata Kalaniyamaka Kalatita Trikalajna. He had a purpose in mind when he was coming with this song. He's saying, Kalantargata Kalatita. Krishna is the controller of time. He's the Lord and Master of time. And he is Kala Pravartaka, Kala Nivartaka. He is the transformer of time. He's the only one who can stop time. And Rukmini Devi wanted to hear more. She asked him, what are you actually having in mind? Narada Muni actually said, I remember this pastime of Krishna and I can't stop laughing. I'm thinking of this pastime. And Rukmini wanted to hear this pastime. She said, please Narada Muni, can you please share it with me? So Narada Muni tempted Rukmini Devi to enter into the Vraja mood. He tempted her to meditate on Krishna's childhood pastimes. And he narrates one of the story is like this. One time, Yashoda was tired of all the complaints of different gopis. And she told all the gopis, from now on, I don't want to hear any complaints about my Lala. My Krishna is very innocent. We have lots of butter and ghee in the house. There is no need for him to steal from other people's houses. So I'm not going to believe you. If you have to at all prove to me, you have to catch him red-handed and bring him to me. Okay, the gopi said, all right. So the next day, on time, Krishna was there trying to steal butter. So one of the gopis saw Krishna very slowly. She was hiding just behind the door, so when Krishna enters, she can catch him. So she tried to catch Krishna. But that particular day, the acharyas described that particular day, Mudadi Mukunda Sadana ke banda hidiya ho dar kaige sikka. That particular day Krishna was not at all afraid. He was with this mischievous smile of, yes, catch me. So one of the gopi caught Krishna. Then she started very quickly without looking at the lotus feet of Krishna, because she will get bewildered and she will let him go. So she turned her face away, she held Krishna's hand and she started walking very fast toward Nanda Maharaj's house. As she was walking, she also saw that from different directions, different gopis were also walking towards Nanda Maharaj's house. And each gopi very quickly entered inside the gates, and Mother Yashoda was standing there. She looked at all the gopis walking and she thought in her mind, I have seen one gopi going crazy one day, but it seems that today all the gopis have simultaneously gone crazy, because they're all walking with their hands stretched, empty-handed, and walking towards my house. What is happening? So all the gopis come by, and one of the gopi looks at the other gopi and says, "Why are you holding your hand like that, as if you're holding somebody?" And the other gopi, seeing Krishna with her, looks at the gopi and she says, "Why are you stretching your hand empty, as if you're holding somebody?" So very quickly they all approach Yashoda and they say, "Here, I got you Krishna today. I caught him red-handed." And Mother Yashoda just smiled and she said, "My Krishna, my Kanha, he sat down in the morning eating curd rice, and he's still sitting and eating curd rice. Let me call him. Krishna, oh Krishna, oh Lala, please come here." Then he comes, till, 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 all his hands dripping yogurt all over. He says, "Yes, Maya, did you call me?" And all the gopis are stunned. How is this possible? And hearing this pastime, inside the heart of Rukmini Devi, there arose a great intense desire to see this form of Krishna. So she requested Narada Muni, "Please, I would really love to see this form of Krishna, where he was stealing butter, where he was herding the cows. I have never seen him in this form." So Narada Muni very mercifully presented her a deity of Krishna, where in one hand he's holding yogurt, in the other hand he's having the stick to herd the cows. Why I quoted this story is because you can still see this deity. I'll tell you how. And in the heart of devotees who saw Krishna's childhood pastimes, they're always meditating. Madhvacharya describes the flute of Krishna, and the acharyas after him, Purandara Dasa, they make a poetry saying, "Pillangoviya chaluva Krishna nayalli nodidire." So the flute of Krishna is so attractive that in every nook and corner of Raja, if somebody with attention can hear it, you can hear Krishna's flute. And where have you seen Krishna then? Where is Krishna? And the acharyas describe, "Andadakala kandakarugala mande mandeyali." Where we can find Krishna is when you see beautiful calves happily grazing in the green, you know for sure Krishna is in the center. And therefore, they are all with their happy smiles grazing. "Nanda gopana mandirangala sandugandinali." You can see Krishna running, escaping from the chastisement of Mother Yashoda in corners of the corridor. You can see Krishna's steps there. "Sundarangada sundariyara hindu mundinali." And where you can find Krishna is wherever there are beautiful cowherd boys and cowherd girls, be sure that Krishna is there. So there is no doubt that Krishna is not in Vrindavan. He is right there, near the cows, near the devotees, and in the house of Nanda Maharaj. So you want to know where is this deity, so you can go and see him. But I have to tell another story which connects to how he came to be seen and available here. One day, our Acharya, Madhvacharya, was standing on the beach of Malpe. Malpe is in Karnataka, is near Mangalore. It's a few hours from Mangalore. So Madhvacharya was in deep meditation. How can I spread this Krishna consciousness movement? And suddenly, at a very distance, he saw a ship. It was about to drown. It had got stuck in a storm. And there was a businessman inside the ship waving towards this orange-robed sannyasi, being sure, having faith that that sannyasi, that saint, can save the ship. So he waved at the ship, and Madhvacharya immediately understood. Madhvacharya is Hanuman. It's Hanuma Bhima Madhva. Madhva's explained that he is none other than Hanuman, and then he became Bhima. And then Madhvacharya is also Vayu. So he could immediately control the storm. Very safely he got the ship to the shore. So when the ship came to the shore, the businessman wanted to award Madhvacharya with something. I mean, who can award anything to Madhvacharya? But his sincere desire. So he said, "My dear Saduji, I have lots of pearls that I have collected from the ocean. Can I give you some pearls?" So Madhvacharya said, no, I am a sannyasi. What I'm going to do with pearls? I don't need pearls." "Then I know that you have blocks of Gopi Chandan, Tilak, in your ship. So I would like that." So the businessman asked, "Are you sure? Are you okay just with two blocks of Gopi Chandan?" Madhvacharya said, "Yes, I will be very happy with that Gopi Chandan." So immediately the businessman got his workers to bring this heavy block of Gopi Chandan, like this big, two blocks of Gopi Chandan, gave it to Madhvacharya. The businessman left. Madhvacharya sat there in meditation. He knew he had this smile on his face, like he was up to some mischief. Then he opened the Gopi Chandan, and there inside was a deity of Krishna. And in the other block of Gopi Chandan was the deity of Balaram. So he took this deity and he started walking towards Udupi. Udupi was already an established place. There was a Shiva temple there and the Pandavas had visited there. So it was already an established place. So Madhvacharya brought this deity. And the Acharyas say the excitement of Madhvacharya. Sikki Danamma Kadumuddu Krishna Bhakta Shiromani Madhvaringe. So Madhvacharya, Bhakta Shiromani, the best of the devotees, found his deity. Sikkita namma hadaginali sere sikkita namma kadalinali. The Paramapurusha, the Supreme Lord, who is inaccessible by Vedas, by the Jnanis and the Yogis, he got trapped in a net. And he was brought in the form of Gopi Chandan to these hands of Madhvacharya. So Madhvacharya took this deity, he established this deity there, and you can see that when you visit Udupi, there is a Pushkarini there, which Madhvacharya himself also installed, where there is the water for bathing the deity. The Pushkarini is a very mystical story behind that, but maybe another day. And the pujaris every morning take the water from there and do the abhishek to this deity. Madhvacharya established 8 ashtamatas, the 8 mats, and the worship is given every 2 years to one particular matha. Matha basically means a mat. Mat, how do you translate mat? Monastery. They have 8 monasteries. Then, this is 450 years ago. After establishing the deity, the Madhvas, after Madhvacharya established these 8 matas, they became known as the Madhvas. They were worshipping this deity. No person who was not born as a Brahmana was allowed inside this temple. Only Brahminical birth persons were allowed. There was a great devotee called Vidura. He was actually an incarnation of Vidura. He was called Kanakadasa. So he was born in a shepherd family. So he was not allowed to enter the temple. So every day he will come trying to have a little glimpse of the deity from some corner of the door, from some little crack in the wall. And he will wait in the back of the temple where the abhishek water flows and all the remnants comes out. So every day he would meditate on Krishna, sing beautiful songs, and he wait, "One day the Lord will give me darshan." And this particular day was a special day where Vadiraja Tirtha, Swamiji himself, who is in the parampara of Madhva line, was worshipping the deity. And Kanakadasa was in ecstatic mood and he was singing. Bhagilanu teredu seveyanu kodo hariye. Please, my dear Lord, when will you give me your darshan and engage me in your service? And all the brahmanas there became very disturbed. He's becoming such a disturbance to all of us. Today we have to teach him a lesson. So they wanted to punish him. So they tied him up and they started to beat him. Kanakadasa did not stop. He continued singing. Please engage me in your service. Please engage me in your service. Suddenly, as the beating got more and more and more intense, and he was bleeding, the wall broke. And the deity, which was turning on the western side, turned around to the eastern side. After breaking the wall, gave an immediate darshan to Kanakadasa, shocking all the assembled brahmanas and devotees. I don't know how many did, paid obeisances to Kanakadasa immediately, and Vadiraja Tirtha immediately brought this devotee inside the temple, and they all realized how great devotee he was. And there are many more stories that continued during the stay of Kanakadasa there. When he was singing, he would describe the childhood features of Krishna as Balagopal. So one of the brahmanas asked him, how are you able to so vividly describe? So Kanakadasa said, because I see him. I saw him. That's why. And this brahmana challenged him. If you see him, then one day he has to, this was one of the senior brahmanas, he said, one day Krishna himself should crawl from inside of the temple room, deity room, to the outside. And Kanakadasa did not say anything, he just kept quiet. Actually, our family, they are from the Udupi Math, our ancestors. So it is said that there were only few brahmanas one particular day that they saw this beautifully decorated child from inside of the Garbhagudi, the sanctum sanctorium of the temple, where nobody is allowed except the sannyasi who is in the Paryaya. Paryaya means the head of the monastery. So they saw this child. Only very few people were there to notice that. With so many ankle bells decorated with golden jewelry. It was only for a second they saw this. And they all got more faith that yes, Krishna is giving darshan to Kanakadasa. And one of the instruction by the acharyas is, where else can you find Krishna? Nachade madhava keshava yamba vacha tangalali. If anybody, without any doubt in their mind and without feeling shy, can say Madhava, Keshava, Govinda, immediately on their tongue is Krishna. So you don't need to find him anywhere. So in Udupi you can see that Krishna wears different dresses. He's dressed as Mohini Murti, he's dressed as Lakshmi Devi, he's dressed as Matsya, Kurma. It's actually a very small deity, and you can only have darshan from the Kanakana Kindi. Kanakana Kindi means the window of Kanakadasa. Because when the wall broke, the deity turned from the place that Kanakadasa could have darshan. Even today we can only have darshan from there. It's a 9-hole window. It's the Navagraha Kindi. It's called in Kannada Navagraha Kindi. And it's made of silver. And there are all the different avatars carved on it. There is Vajra Kavacha. This is a special vesha of Krishna that they dress Krishna with. Kavacha is armor. Armor of diamond. So it's made of diamond and he looks very beautiful. Only instruction given by Madhvacharya was never to dress this Krishna as Narsingadev. So he's dressed in any other avatar and vesh, but not as Narsingadev. Okay, so this was the story of Udupi Krishna. Then I'd like to share another story of Pundalika. Pundalika was a devotee in Maharashtra. One day he had a very strong desire to visit holy places. He had parents very aged and sick. He neglected that service and he went on a pilgrimage. On his route, he went to an ashram of a muni, a sage, where he asked directions to the sage how to get to Kashi. And the sage replied that he didn't know. So Pundalika was very surprised. And he said, such a great saint like you, you don't know how to get to Kashi? He belittled him in his mind. Thereafter in the night, it is said that he heard three different women sweeping the floor. So he came out to see who are these women. Then he inquired from them. And it happened to be that they were none other than Goddess Yamuna, Ganga and Saraswati, themselves coming to serve this devotee. So he became very perturbed. How is this possible that such great goddesses are here? And they explained to him that this Muni had been very faithfully serving his parents, and that's a very virtuous quality, and therefore they were very pleased. So Pundarik had this new realization that he had this responsibility of taking care of his parents on his shoulder, and regardless of that, he had left home trying to look for pilgrimage. So he went back to his parents and he started caring for the parents. He was a great devotee. He would sing every day. He would sing Govinda Naam. He would glorify Krishna, constantly thinking of Krishna and performing his duty. One day, it's a special day, a Brahmana came to the door and he requested, Pundalika, Pundalika, come here. And actually, Pundalika was so busy serving his parents that he told him, I am busy right now. And he threw a brick outside and he said, please wait on that brick and I will come. Actually, this was none other than the Supreme Lord, because he had kept calling the Lord every time he was engaged in kirtan, in his activities, in his duties, my dear Lord, please come. And the deity and Krishna decided to stand on the brick. If you ever stood on a brick, you know it's not very easy. You have to balance yourself. So Krishna put his two hands on his hips. Then he stood on it and carefully tried to balance on the brick. So the one who threw the brick is Pundalika. And Panduranga is the one who stood on the brick. So this deity became very famously known as Pandarinatha or Panduranga. This is the, as far as I know, this is the only deity of Krishna which is under Vaishnava pujaris, where you can actually touch the lotus feet of the Lord with your head. You can go and place your head on the lotus feet of the deity when you have darshan of Pandarinatha Panduranga. There is also Rukmini along with Pandarinath in a little bit of a distance, where there is a temple of Rukmini Devi also standing on the brick and with her hands on her hips. So these are beautiful forms of Panduranga and Pandarinatha. And I have to share this song with you of Panduranga, and I think Mridangam would be the best to describe the joy of the devotees when they see Panduranga and they want to hold his lotus feet, and the whole story of why he stood on the brink. Kittige male nintanamma vittalatanu dittatanu putta pada uri ninta dittatanu dittatanu pandarapuradalli iruvanante panduranga nembuvanante ittige male nintanamma vittalatanu dittatanu putta pada uri ninta dittatanu dittatanu hanadase ivagillante chandrabhaga pitanivanante ittige male nintanam vittalatanu dittatanu putta pada uri ninta dittatanu dittatanu dittatanu. So the meaning of the song is the one who stood on the brick just because of the words of his devotee, because the devotee ordered him stand on the brick, the Lord stood. What kind of a supreme Lord that listens to a devotee. Chandrabhaga Pitanivanante. This temple is located on the river called Chandrabhaga. So Chandrabhaga Hanada Ase Ivagillante means he does not have any desire for adoration in an opulent way. He can just be satisfied with that little brick that his devotee threw at him. So this is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Who can understand this? Nobody can understand this. And there's another song describing the devotee's dilemma in understanding, glorifying, and preaching the names, forms, and qualities of the Lord. The Acharya sings in a Sakya Rasa mood. He's not anymore in Dasya Rasa. He gets into the Sakya Bhav and he says,
Ninna Rupina Leela Noduva Janake Kannu Savira Villa.
He says, my dear Lord, you have so many innumerable forms. Sorry, I have only two eyes. And he says, how will people in general ever be able to count, understand, or see all these strange, extraordinary, magnificent, and weird forms of yours? Because he says,
Na paadi pogalalu pannadadipanalla neenariyadilla.
Oh Lord, don't you know? Don't you know that I'm not your Ananta Shesh who has 1,000 mouths to glorify and chant your holy names? Because one mouth is not sufficient. Because Ananta Shesh is said to have recited the Srimad Bhagavatam with his 1,000 mouths, and with the other 1,000 mouths, he seems to have glorified the qualities of the Lord. So he's being a little sarcastic in saying, how can you expect me to understand you? And how can you expect the ordinary people to understand you? And he appears in all these different forms. And then the whole song goes in like, in one paragraph, he describes all the different avatars.
Kannu muchade bennu toruve mannu kedaruve chinna golidane sannavamana annaramane punya purushane banna badakane hennugala vrata kedisi kudureya neri mereyuva vyasa tirthane tiliyado innata.
It's like a very quick view of all his different matsya as kurma. Matsya means the fish does not close its eyes. So kannu muchade, in one word, it described the whole Matsya avatar. Then, Bennu Toruve. How can the Supreme Lord take the form of a tortoise and you're just showing your back? He's being in a Sakya Rasa mood. Mannu Kedaruve. Why did you have to go and dig the earth as Varahadev? And then, Chinnagolidane. On one side, you take all these animal forms, fish and tortoise and pig. On the other side, You become easily attainable and you bless Chinna. Chinna is actually small child. Who is that? Dhruva Maharaj. You immediately appear to him. Sanna Vamana. And you appear as a little boy yourself. Anna Ramane means you appeared before Lord Ramachandra as Parashurama. What kind of a weird leela is this? Punya Purushane. On one side, you are the most righteous. You stand in the battlefield of Kurukshetra and you say, Yada, Yada, Hi, Dharmasya. And then, Kudereye Nerida. And he says, I have to be careful how I translate this. It is said that on one side, you're establishing Dharma. On the other side, you're not making it easy for people to follow the Dharma because you're breaking all the vows of the Brajagopis. And you're actually tempting them with your love and attention. And then at the end, you ride on a horse, means Kalki, going to come at the end, and then you go away. So how do you expect me to understand you? It is impossible for me to understand you. And it is possible only by the mercy of Vaishnavas. And the mercy of Vaishnavas, it is described exactly what we do. Sing the holy name along with the devotees, dance, and feel ecstasy. And I think this was a song that on Janmashtami specifically, the Acharyas sang in front of the deities. And even today, the Madhvas, they have these sticks, it's called kolata. And they do the sticks and they dance this song. And the song is the glorification of the association of devotees.
Ranga ninna kondaduva mangalatmara sanga sukha vittu kayo taruna sagara.
Actually, it's very easy to understand Sanskrit words. You can actually follow. Ranga ninna kondaduva. Ranga, you're the people who glorify Ranga. Sangha sukha. Sangha means association. Sukha means that bliss, that happiness derived with the association of devotees. Sangha sukha vittu kayo karuna sagara. Please bestow me this, O ocean of mercy.
Ranga ninna kondaduva mangalatmara sanga sukha vittu kayo karuna sagara. Ranga ninna kondaduva mangalatmara sanga sukha vittu kayo karuna sagara. Ranga ninna kondaduva mangalatmara sanga sukha vittu kayo karuna sagara.
So you can imagine them with the sticks dancing for the song, really fast beat.
Ranga ninna kondaduva mangalatmara sanga sukha vittu kayo karuna sagara.
Everybody, the elderly ladies, the old, the young, they all get together and they all dance in front of the Lord with this song. It's called the Hari Vana Seva, which means the seva, the devotional service that the Lord is most pleased with, that is dancing for the Lord. So these are some of the stories that I thought I would share. Thank you very much for listening to it attentively. If you have any questions, comments, there are many more self-manifested deity stories, but today I chose these three because it's specifically about the mercy of the Lord in extraordinary ways and the form of Krishna, Bala Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna. So the conclusion of the class is Krishna is the origin of everything, and at the same time he is the darling of Vrindavan and he is born in Raja. Thank you very much. Yes, Mataji. Está bien.
¿Cómo se puede definir la vida espiritual de alguien que canta rondas solo y que se siente disturbado por el canto del bhajan de un vecino, que no se siente cómodo por eso?
Okay. Her question is, how would you define the situation of a devotee who's trying to chant alone, sitting alone, but is being disturbed by a loud kirtan that's going on nearby? I mean, the first thing that came to my mind is chant somewhere else. I mean, practical. Sorry? Can I come here, Prabhu? Any other advice for Mataji? Yes, Janani Vash Prabhu? Prabhu says, Prabhupada said that you should not be where there's loud kirtan during japa. You shouldn't be doing japa where there is kirtan.
Because the yoga is Harinam Sankirtan.
Thank you. Because kirtan is superior to japa. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu. Yes, he's called the Udupi Krishna. He is in Udupi, which is on the beach near Mangalore. And the Balaram is right on the shore near the beach. There is a beautiful Balaram temple. And then quite a distance is Krishna's temple. Krishna's temple is more popular somehow. I mean, thousands of people come and visit the temple every day. That's the place where the deity turned around for the devotee. Yes, Prabhu.
I was in Udupi Krishna temple once, and later on I was surprising why Radharani is not there. The Krishna Seva is incomplete without Radharani. Could you please explain?
Yes, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree. I cannot say why Narada Muni didn't give a deity of Radharani to Rukmini. I don't know that. But I know through a poem of a friend of mine, that she studied a lot. Her name is Madhavalata. She wrote a beautiful poem. It's Rukmini Vacha. It's the poem from the vision of Rukmini Devi. And Rukmini Devi is actually glorifying Srimati Radharani's love and devotion. And she says, Rukmini Devi says, "What do you know what is love? Only the girl in your dreams, she knows." Because it is said that Krishna would dream constantly of Srimati Radharani, and he would constantly recite her names in the dream. And Rukmini Devi was listening to all this. So she understood the love and devotion of Srimati Radharani. And it is said that that was one of the reasons that Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he wanted to also experience that love and devotion. So Rukmini Devi is said to be the inspiration. But in Pandharapur you can see Rukmini, Srimati Radharani there. But for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, definitely Srimati Radharani is what completes Krishna. He has a cow generally. Udupi Krishna, they always put him with a cow, because Krishna is never alone.
Another question. Everybody, we in Krishna consciousness, we know that the cow is our mother, mother of everyone. And my question is, few devotees maybe go more deep in serving by different reasons, but in general, for all ISKCON society, what is the duty of everyone with cows? In general, because I hear sometimes devotees say, "It's not my mood. It's not my nature to be with cows. My mood is more in the gopi service, serving Krishna directly, something like that." I want to know what is the duty of everyone.
So, if I understood you correctly, your question is, you perceive that cows are very important. And you are often bewildered why many devotees do not take part in cow protection, or and you are also surprised with the reason that they give, that maybe it's not their mood, or so you're wondering what is actually the reason for why not many people being interested in being with cows. And is that your question?
Exactly, what is the reason? But what is the duty?
Maybe what is
we don't
the duty?
Know. Yeah, maybe we don't know, but what is really the duty of all of the devotees?
Thank you. So what is the duty? Srila Prabhupada established different areas of Krishna consciousness: deity worship, book distribution, preaching, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Shastric courses, cow protection, agriculture, prison preaching, school preaching, many more, kirtan, prasadam, cooking, many, many services were established by Srila Prabhupada. And he was the founder of Acharya, and therefore he could, as a single man, he did extraordinary contribution towards all these areas. And he was an exemplary Acharya. But even in the history, we can see that not many people were able to do that. So when it comes to a Hare Krishna devotee, to address the first issue that you mentioned, why not many people why they don't understand the importance of it, I think it's a lot to do with culture. Because if people come from a culture of eating cows to stopping eating cows, it's already a big progress towards cow protection. So they're already doing great. And then to move to a personal relationship with the cow, it's not in everybody's nature, or it's not really, may not even be the duty of everybody. Because like if somebody is doing cow protection, they cannot say, oh, Prabhupada stressed so much book distribution, I'll also do book distribution. Oh, but prasadam is even more important, let me also cook. No, oh, kirtan, that's the most important thing, I would also like to take part in 24-hour kirtan. It's just humanly impossible for somebody. I mean, I'm sure there are some human beings who do all this, and I know some devotees like that, so I can't say that impossible, but it's extremely rare to find human beings who are able to do everything. So one thing is respect, support. Maybe they can give some advice or donation if they can, and respect mother cow, etc. Another is that personal interest to be involved. And second, and other thing is sometimes maybe people are already busy with their services. And maybe they have an instruction from the spiritual master to focus on a particular area. Do you know what I mean? So the point is, all these areas that Prabhupada established are transcendental and divine. In fact, this morning I was reading Bhagavad Gita, and very nice purport by Srila Prabhupada about faith. And he describes that there are three different types of people, different levels of faith. Even though engaged in devotional service, Prabhupada says, the third level, the third category, the third class, Prabhupada calls, third class are those maybe engaged in devotional service, but they do not have full faith. And then he goes on to describe the second, who somehow know this is the best, they do it with good faith, but they may not be very well versed with scriptures and understanding of the philosophy. And Prabhupada says the first class is the one who understands the scriptures very well. And that's the one Prabhupada says the first class never can fall down. And the third class, he says, Prabhupada says in that purport, we have seen in our missionary activities that some people join in, but due to lack of faith, they leave. So this faith aspect is very important. In any service we do, it should not become devotional service in tamoguna. Like let's say I am doing cooking. I don't do much cooking, but let's say I cook and I think that this is the most important service and everything else is less important. This is the most important service. And I may do it well, I may do it with full dedication, faith, but it's still in a neophyte stage to think that this is the only, you know what I mean? Like, so the point is to see all the services as equally important to the mission, and to try to recognize that every person has their nature, the instructions from their spiritual master, and their availability of time and other resources. And that might give a community more harmonious interaction. This is my understanding. So the faith has to be strong in the principle and not in the detail. Then it's easy to appreciate, encourage, involve, if that makes sense. So the conclusion is, depends on the word, how we define duty, and to who we are addressing, who are we talking about, and about what we are talking. So these three, after determining these three points, we will be able to study case by case what would be the duty. Thank you. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Krishna Mahapurush ki.